Everybody works with a certain goal, certain theme, to a certain goal. The madrasa teaches you the structure of Deen. They will tell you what is faraz, what is sunnat, what is nafal, and more or less they'll explain in detail the structures of Deen. So the body of Deen is taught and learnt at a madrasa. When you come to a madrasa with that frame of mind, that I wish to study, learn, understand the structure of Deen. When you get into Jamaat, then what is the Jamaat? And I heard from one of the most senior people in Jamaat, it's like a mobile madrasa and a khanqa. Khanqa and madrasa, but mobile. So they will just teach you the very basics, but in a mobile way. Not stationary. As you're moving along, they'll teach you. So that's the theme. If you understand the theme, then you know what to work towards. Then you get a khanqa. So what does the khanqa aim to teach you? You understood the madrasa? You understood the jamaat? Now, the third is, what is the khanqa supposed to be teaching you? The khanqa will teach you the essence. So you got the body, you got the motion, the movement. Now, the khanqa is supposed to teach you the essence. All are important. Without the body, then how can you work on the essence? You got no body, can you work on anything? In order to work, you have to have the body. So you have to have the body to work. So that will be taught in the madrasa. Then for people that are of age, now you ask them to go into the madrasa, they can't go. But they feel now it clashes with the work, we've got duties, and won't be able to cope. Give us something short, for a short period, 1 month, 2 months. And we can't achieve these things in that 1-2 months. So both have to learn Deen. Learning Deen is faraz, a double enemy fariz, that's all. The one that was a bit young, he had the time, and he could manage going to madrasa. The one that is a little bit old, he can't manage it. But in the meanwhile, learning Deen is compulsory. So you tell him, alright, go into Jamaat. And that's a mobile madrasa, mobile khanqa, it will teach you. So this is also important. That is also important. For many people, this is faraz. For many people, that is faraz. However you want to acquire the faraz, that becomes your being. Now the third is the essence of being. The enjoyment and the fulfillment, the satisfaction comes with the essence. Because you got something and you got the flavor. You got it, you got the essence. So, when you got the essence, you got the flavor, then that continues, this continuity. If you haven't got the essence, you haven't got the flavor, there's no continuity. And you want something to continue, then it must have an essence, must have a flavor, must have a taste, and it carries on. Like you have a drink, right? I ask you, if there's no sweet, nothing sweet in the drink, can you continue? Can you continue? Can't continue. So the sweet creates the continuity. And although someone may say, alright, little more, little less, I need a sweetener, I need something. In essence, everybody believes that he needs to have something sweet. Right? So the sweetener, the thing brings about the continuity. Right? You have a chocolate or a biscuit or something, and there is absolutely nothing to sweeten, will you continue eating the thing? So the flavor brings about the continuity. Or can you imagine yourself eating a chocolate without any sweetness? Nothing sweet, no sugar inside. Cold drink, no sweet. So that sweetener brings about the continuity. So this also, what is supposed to be getting, is the sweetener, the flavor. Once the flavor of deen is gone, then there's continuity. That's why you see Abu Sufyan in the presence of Herakl, Hercules. And Abu Sufyan is asked, what is asked? That when a person enters Islam, do you ever see him turning apostate? Na'udhu Billah. So the question now. Now, the kings in the past were not like leaders today. Today, voting and all that is coming. Contact, voting, influence, affluence is coming. The king in the past, if you look at the lives, be they Muslims or non-Muslims, but they were very much educated. The scriptures, the books, very, very educated. So now, Hercules is asking, did you see any person turning apostate after accepting Islam? So Abu Sufyan says, no, I haven't seen this. Once he accepts Islam, he just progresses. So Hercules answered, it's recorded in Bukhari Sharif, كذلك الإيمان إذا يخالط بشاشته القلب. The sweetness gets inside. The sweetness gets into the heart. Then the person doesn't turn. Wasn't that term mean that they're already saying you turn apostate when you haven't tasted Iman. You just accept Iman but you didn't taste it. Then there's a possibility that you turn away. But once you tasted it and it's gone right into your heart, then you can't turn. كَذَلِكَ الْإِمَانِ إِذَا خَالَتَ بَشَّاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبِ. When the sweetness has gone right into the heart, then you can't. So this whole effort is driven to create that taste, to create the sweetness. That's what it's driven for. So the sweetness is something that is abstract, you can't see. Like this juice is sweet, right? But the sweet, can you see it? You have to feel it, you can't see it. But the sweetness of Iman, you have to experience it, you can't see it. Like this is sweet, but you can't see the sweet. Can't see it. You can say it's sweet, but can you see the sweetness? You can't see it. So you have to experience it. So this iman also you have to experience it. That's why the words in the hadith, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ, we tasted iman. It's a taste. But the taste, you have to personally experience it. Now the question is then, how do you get the kit? How you get the taste? So this is a long discussion. Let me just tell you the essence, right? How it works. So the whole effort is driven for Allah to get into your heart. Then there are different methodologies and approaches that is used to get Allah Ta'ala permeating your heart. Like in Hibs, right? What is the effort driven towards? By hearting, isn't it? So there will be different approaches used, employed to memorize the Quran Sharif. Someone will repeat Alif Lam Mim Zalika Kitab, Alif Lam Mim Zalika, he'll repeat and get it right? Someone will listen to a tape recorder. Someone may listen to someone directly, right? So there will be different approaches used, but the idea is to get to memorize. Here the effort is to get Allah Ta'ala. Approaches can differ. It's an approach. Now, when a child is learning Quran Sharif, right? It's an approach, right? And we all agree that's an approach. We will not say that the approach that he's using is bidat. Right? When we see the child is reading, learning, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim. Do you find that in the hadith anywhere? But now, the adat is that you must shake. Isn't that the adat? Have you seen a Hifz class? Children are not shaking. Everybody is shaking. But they get that thing right. Now you will not say that they are practicing this and this is bidat. No, it's an experience, right? Experience show you have to do it like that to learn it. You have to. I know some hafiz, right? If you're sitting, they'll be rocking. But over the years, they were rocking like that, right? So now to get them to stop rocking is not even an effort. They won't get it just out of their lives. Over the period, they kept on rocking. So same now here, the whole effort is to get you to get the love of Allah Ta'ala. So you use an approach. So you see, one is the work, one is the approach. So the approach, you will not say is bidat, it can change. Like I said, you're learning from the kitab, learning from a tape, you're learning from someone reciting, different approaches, different methods. So the methods will not be bidat. It's an approach. Idea is to get you to learn. Here, one method that used to be used in the past is charban. They used to call it charban. Four things will be blocked. Right. Block your eyes, block your mouth, your ears, and your heart. Now, blocking your eyes, you can understand. Tongue, you can understand. Ears, heart, in other words, deliberately don't think of anything else. You're going to be tossed, going to be passing the mind, right? You can't stop it. Can you stop your mind from thinking? Can you? You stop one thought, another thought will come. Yeah? So the mind is like a bottle, you know, bottle. Can you create a total vacuum in a bottle? If you remove the contents, the air will get in, isn't it? And you put some liquid, the air will go out. So to create a total vacuum, you're not going to get that. Something is going to place in the fill the mind. So that's the human mind. You can't have a total vacuum. It's going to be filled up with something or the other. So now, they will ask you to block this four. But blocking this four is not a sunnah. But it's an approach. See, it's a methodology. Methodology to bring you to this point here. Right? That means what they mean, blocking means you won't look at anything unnecessarily. You need to look at it, look at it. But unnecessarily you only. Like you're sitting here, right? Or the habit is, it was a noise there. The whole crowd will look at what's happening. Right? It is. So we won't look at anything unnecessarily. Because no, why? We want to create conscience and awareness, conscience, a presence. What presence of Allah Ta'ala? So the presence of Allah Ta'ala requires that we don't get distracted to anything else. Right? So one method is that's used is what I'm saying, charbala. Just a method, right? So you won't look at anything unnecessarily. Who came, who went, how many fans are here, what type of fan, you got any acorn in this madrasa. So you don't want to be paying attention to that. Why? You don't want your mind to be diverted, distracted. And again, I must say that this is not a sunnah. It's a method, it's an approach. Right? Like how you're going to madrasa, and they tell you that first period is starting at 7 o'clock. Must be there, otherwise you'll be marked absent. And then you're absent for so many days and you can't attend the exams, right? But is that a sunnah? What a sunnah is, just a method, it's an approach. Now when people don't understand approach, and they say, this is bidat, this is wrong. Why? They don't understand what is methodology and what is the subject. Okay? In a madrasa, they must come like this. Then there are going to be three exams. Then do you find this examination concept in the hadith? You don't find it. But you have to do it in a madrasa. Now you want to sit in the imtihan and you didn't do surf and nahu. Will they allow it? Hey, see, what type of madrasa? They can completely against the hadith in the Quran. See, where the hadith said? Abu Huraira and all, where they were doing fa'ala, 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 where they were. What do you tell them? It's a method. Without this method, you can't walk. It's an approach. You have to apply that approach, you have to be able to escalate. So, you won't look at anything that distracts. You won't listen to anything that distracts. You won't talk of anything that distracts. Now, the human mind is about the most sensitive thing. See? The tongue also is sensitive. See, you may take a 101 muscles, right? But anything that is not familiar to the tongue, the tongue picks it up quickly, straight away. Whereas you're eating 100 things, right? I ask you, one small stone pebble into your mouth, will the tongue pick it up or not? So it's so sensitive, anything that is not right, the thing will pick it up. You're eating, right? And a small hair, one hair according to you. Will you pick it up or not? You pick it up straight away. So the tongue is so refined, it picks it up. You're reciting Quran Sharif or something, you're talking, right? And there's something stuck or something inside your mouth, right? Can you continue with the flow? So it's so refined. See, it picks it up straight away. So the mind is like that. Mind is like that, the tongue is like that. It picks it up straight away. So what they're saying now, see, your mind and your tongue is so refined. It takes so many hundreds of things, but anything that is not conducive, it will pick it up and say, throw it out. A stone came, throw it out. Small thing, right? One small glass came in, throw it out. One small hair came in, throw it out. Whilst you're eating, so some iron or something came into the food. And what your mind would say, throw it out. Only say, throw it out. So it picks it up and it asks to be thrown out. So same is the mind. The mind is even more sensitive. Because the mind is so sensitive, you want to perform namaz with khushu, right? But now, someone spoke about something before namaz. He spoke, I bought a new car, Mercedes, I bought blue color. bottom, yeah, brand new, you know. So he spoke about this just 2 minutes before namaz. Ask you in the namaz, you will think about the count. Huh? And let's make it worse, right? You tell someone, you just carry out your life. Carry out your life, don't think about a blue colored Mercedes. I ask you, 99% of the time, you will think about it. Will it happen or not? I said, you can think of anything, but don't think about the blue colored Mercedes. You think about it or not? You will not be thinking about it. See how the mind works. That's how the mind works. So the smallest thing can trigger the thought. So they say, but don't listen to anything. Don't listen to anybody, anything. You know, some of you all, or most of you all, we have seen Haji Nakhuda Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, right? So, my good fortune, when we were sitting in Etigaf in Sahanpur, the Sheikh of the day, and 1 year he was next to me. We got a small place, so he's sleeping here and I'm sleeping there. So for some years, he would write a paper and have it on his neck here, Khamosh, quiet. That means he's going through a training, and please don't talk to him, because he's required to remain silent. Why silent? So the reason, you're disciplining the mind. The mind is getting disciplined. And forget that the thought of Allah Ta'ala, the mind needs to be disciplined. And when it's disciplined now that thing has been firmly entrenched. That Allah Ta'ala's thought is entrenched in the mind. When it's entrenched now, then no matter what happens, but the mind, that thought doesn't leave you. But it's rooted, it's entrenched, it's gone deep inside your heart. Now it doesn't leave you. Whatever you're doing, but the thought is there. Right? Now, how that happens? You see, it's your first child, right? You're very deeply attached to the child. So, from the time that your family conceived, right, until the child is born, all that, you're doing a lot of things, but I ask you, the thought of the child is in your mind or not? You're at work, you're eating, you're playing, you're going to places, but you're so attached, that authority is so much, that the thought never leaves your mind. Why? Because of the attachment. Because of that affinity, it doesn't leave. So that's what they're asking you, to build that affinity and the thought, that the thought of Allah Ta'ala doesn't leave your mind. Doing anything, eating, whatever, but the thought mustn't leave your mind. So this is just a technique, it's an approach. So that's how, this is one thing they ask, not to talk, not to listen to anything, not to distract you. Just work, just concentrate on your work. So now in our setup, there'll be two classes of people. Some are in the khidmat. In the khidmat, they must ensure that it is just khidmat related. I'm talking only khidmat related, purely. I don't want to make conversation. See now, one is to make conversation. That's dangerous. It's in my mind to make conversation. I see a Maulana, right? So, the idea is make conversation, you know, batakalluf. Right? Takallum doesn't come on a takalluf scale, isn't it? Does it have the same meaning, takallum? Doesn't have the tasannu. Here you make speech, you know, make talk. So when you saw the Mulana, I need to talk to him, so let me ask him some maslas. I'll engage him, see. I don't need to ask the masla, but I need to talk. And then we'll talk about Mercedes and all, it doesn't work. And we're talking about dunya. Well, I won't like it. So let me talk about some masla. So I need to get him to talk. But that is dangerous. So those brothers that are in khidmat, if it's provided it's khidmat related, they're talking. Otherwise, quiet. They got a tasbih in their hands. There's one zikr they're doing. And otherwise, in the masjid, they're just doing the work. People will try and talk, they will. Then you need to know, right? I was in Bazaji Rahmatullah Ali. So there was a South African Jamaat that came. So I spoke to them for some time. And I explained this what happened. That in ki dil joy ke liye, maine kuch der unse baat ki. Just to make them happy, I spoke to them for a few minutes. You know. So Hazrat's answer was, "Dusre ki dil joy se zyada, apni deen shikni aham." One is to please that person, right, so that there's no dil shikni. So more than the dil shikni is deen shikni. You want to start talking, right? And you don't have Allah Ta'ala rooted in your heart. What will happen? Why is you don't have Allah Ta'ala rooted, you're talking. In few moments you may give it, won't you? In a few moments you're going to be gossiping. In a few moments you can be sarcastic, right? You're going to be running down someone, you're going to be disgracing. And now, Mulana will feel, you know, he'll feel bad now, so let me not stop him. But you can see now, either sarcasm, or ridiculing, or there's pride here, or there's gossip here, there's ghibat here. Now in consideration, you're just keeping quiet. So I ask you, when Allah Ta'ala is not firmly entrenched in your heart, can you get caught into these things or not? Allah is not firmly entrenched. Can you get caught? Once Allah is firmly entrenched, then Allah is in your presence. In your presence, can you make ghibat? When He's there, when you can see Him. Like Zayd is your friend, right? But it's all, in His presence, can you talk bad of Him? So you get the presence of Allah to such a level that will just stop you straight away. But you don't have that presence of Allah Ta'ala, and you say dil shikni, then you're going to get caught here, you're going to get caught in the second thing, in the third thing, your namaz is going to get affected, your zikr is going to get affected, your tilawat is going to get affected, every work of yours is going to get affected. But this is a long topic, so let me just introduce this topic some other day, inshallah, I'll try and elaborate more, inshallah.